From the look on his face, Yoda didn't relish his decision being questioned. Nobody crossed him these days. That was his trouble. The Jedi bowed and scraped before him, choking on their flattery.
Not that I'm complaining. It makes him so much easier to deceive.
Ready for the challenge, young Skywalker is, pronounced Yoda. Have faith in him, the Jedi Council does.
As do I, Master Yoda. Thank you for keeping me apprised of this crucial development. Naturally, given the extremely sensitive nature of the mission, I shall keep its details to myself. And I would count it as a personal favor if you made sure to tell me how Anakin is faring.
Apprised we will keep you, Supreme Chancellor, said Yoda, taking his leave at last.
Once he was alone, Palpatine activated his holo intercom.
See that I'm not disturbed again for any reason, he told Mos Amida. I shall tell you when I am available again.
Of course, Supreme Chancellor,
Mos Amida said, bowing. Then his image winked out. Palpatine swiveled his chair until he faced his office's transparasteel wall. Normal traffic flow had not yet been restored to the administration sector. That strange gap in the sky continued, exaggerated, now that night was fallen, further unsettling the people of Coruscant. He could feel their dismay seething, their fears building, their confidence eroding, a bouquet like fine wine upon his palate. Then the bouquet soured slightly. Destroying the battle group was obviously out of the question now. Ah, well, never mind. As Yoda was so tediously fond of saying,
always in motion, the future is.
He'd have to adjust his plans, that was all. It wouldn't be the first time, nor would it be the last. In the larger scheme of things, it made no difference. Now or later, Kenobi would die, and the Republic would fall. He had foreseen it. On the other hand,
perhaps I should merely cripple the cruisers, scuttle the Bothoe mission entirely, for if there's even the slightest chance of losing Anakin to Grievous, or Grievous to him.
Guaranteed his privacy, he plunged his consciousness into the dark side, searched the shifting matrix of the future, sifted possible from probable, likely outcomes from unlikely, seeking, seeking, always seeking. When at length he emerged from his trance, he was smiling. Anakin would not destroy Grievous at Bothoe, neither would he perish by the creature's hand. No, thanks to this new assignment, his secret apprentice would merely grow in stature, in speed, and in breathtaking skill, never once suspecting whom and what he truly served. As for Grievous, it would continue on its bloodthirsty way, cutting a swath through the ranks of the Jedi. The war would continue, slowly but surely unraveling the Republic, laying it to waste for his delectation. Equally important, the dark side had shown him how to rid himself of Kenobi and that stalwart fool Organa. A nudge here, a string pulled there, pathetic friendship so easily exploited. Trust and loyalty, the currency of weaklings. And best of all, the instrument of their destruction already existed. He hardly needed to lift a finger. An ancient planet, hidden and safeguarded by the Sith for centuries. A sarlacc of space, hungry for prey. Retrieving his Sith robe and holotransmitter, he transformed into Darth Sidious and contacted Dooku.
Darth Tyrannus, the opportunity to eliminate two important enemies has arisen.
Dooku bowed.
That is good news, Master. How can I serve?
The infiltration of Bail Organa's private intelligence network. It holds?
Yes, Master, of course.
Then contact your agent. I have information for our dupe of Alderaan. Information that will lead him and Obi-Wan Kenobi to their doom.
Dooku's hologram chuckled.
What a tragedy, Master.
The fool was overconfident. He imagined himself an equal.
The tragedy will be yours, Tyrannus, if you should fail.
Sidious snapped with a sting of the dark side and smiled to see how Dooku cringed.
Now, my apprentice, pay very close attention.